Okay, David's going to bring us our Bible reading. Thank you, David.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
This morning's Bible reading comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a worthy life of the Lord. I beg your pardon, I got that wrong. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption for forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, David. Thank you for reading it for us so clearly. Okay, we're working our way, as I'm sure you know, through this little letter of Colossians written by Paul and Timothy, or I guess largely by Paul, assisted by Timothy. And it's written primarily to combat false teaching, and the false teaching in essence was to say Jesus isn't enough, that you needed something in addition, you needed something to complement simple trust in Jesus. And this morning we're going to slow things right down. We're only going to look at two verses. Not something I do very often, but I thought it might help us and prepare us for communion. The letter begins with Paul and Timothy thanking God, joyfully thanking God for this young church. And what are they joyfully thanking God for? Well, that's our two verses, isn't it? He's joyfully thanking God because he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Paul and Timothy are writing to this young church and joyfully thanking God because that is what he has done. I remember when our children were very young, sort of 5, 6, 7, that sort of age. And we would take them to places like Legoland and Alton Towers, you know, where all the roller coasters are. And but having young children meant that we would go on some of the children's rides as well. And every ride we went on had a restraining bar. And then going on the kids' roller coasters, if that's what they are, you kind of think, well, is this necessary? Is it just a lean on? You know, I'd be sitting there with my, you know, I don't really need this in the kids' rides. But going on the grown-up roller coasters, you know, if I did not have that restraining bar, I would not be coming off that alive. You know? And I would be checking it and double checking it and triple checking it to make sure it was secure. Why? Well, because my life depended on it. And I think we could say the same for these two verses. Our lives depend on it. So let's take a look. Let's spend a few minutes kind of unpacking or learning from these two verses. God has rescued us. and he's transferred us. And right away, there's a contrast, isn't there? God has rescued us from one thing, and he's transferred us or brought us into something else. Rescued means to be taken out of a bad situation. We've been rescued from a bad situation. Transferred simply means to be moved or relocated to another place. So we have these two contrasting locations. Where have we been rescued from? The domain of darkness. And where have we been transferred to or brought to? The kingdom of the Son he loved. So we've been rescued from a domain. What is a domain? Well, the Greek word here can mean power, authority, or control, or probably a combination of all three. Power, authority, and control. So we've been rescued from something that is controlling. And the contrast is with the kingdom. What does a king have? Power, authority, and control. So we've been rescued from a domain where darkness has power and authority and control. And we've been transferred, we've been moved over, we've been brought out of that and brought into a kingdom where Jesus has power and authority and control. And then we move to verse 14. Notice it doesn't say where we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Remember, he's just been talking about locations. He's been talking about domains and kingdoms. So you might expect him to say where we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, but he doesn't. He says, in whom? It's not found in a place, is it? It's found in a person. Redemption, forgiveness of sins is found in a person. It's located in a person. And I think we all know who that person is. Jesus. Okay, so we looked at these two verses in a bit of detail. I wonder what comes to your mind when you think of a rescue story. What comes to your mind? You think about a rescue story. Maybe a prince on a stallion and rescuing a damsel in distress, stuck away in some dungeon somewhere, and he comes and against all the odds he rescues her. Or maybe your mind goes back to 2018 and those boys and their coach who were trapped in underground caves for, I can't remember how many days it was, a long time. And they had to be rescued and come through, you know, divers had to go in and rescue them. Or people who were not that long were hanging on a cable car because some of the cables had snapped or something like that, and they had to be rescued. Well, Paul says we've been rescued. And I think what Paul has in mind, and the language that he's using, the rescue that Paul has in mind, is the Exodus. This is Exodus language that Paul is using. So when the people read this, their mind would immediately go to the Exodus. God has rescued people from one situation and brought them out and brought them into another place. I mean, the Exodus was a rescue on a grand scale, wasn't it? And yet, I think it'd be fair to say it doesn't even come close to to the rescue story that Paul is talking about here. It's even more epic. And why is this rescue story so important? Why is it life to those who are rescued? I want to suggest that this epic event, this epic rescue story, touches on two fundamental needs that every human being has. The need for freedom and the need for meaning. Our desire for freedom, our desire for meaning. So let's start with freedom. Now, our desire for freedom is so strong and so powerful that not even a tyrant or a military power can fully suppress it. It is intrinsic to being human. It's intrinsic to our DNA as human beings. Nothing will completely or ever suppress our desire to be free, no matter how powerful they may be. You can't help but think of that movie, Braveheart. You remember Mel Gibson? And, you know, you may take our lives, but you will never take our... Have you not seen it? Our freedom. And he belts that out, doesn't he? You will never take our freedom! But here's the thing. The freedom we long for, more than any other freedom, isn't freedom from some tyranny. It's not a political freedom or a social freedom or even freedom of expression. There's a deeper freedom we long for. See, the nagging feeling we have in our hearts, even if we have all those freedoms, and thankfully, by and large, we do in this country. But even with all of those freedoms, we know we're not totally free. There's something oppressive inside each and every one of us, like a kind of shadow kingdom that lurks within. The instinct towards selfishness hasn't gone away, has it? The instinct towards self-preservation, self-protection. See, inside of us, we know there is a dark domain. And we long to be able to shrug it off and be free of it. Now, some of you might be thinking, yeah, I know that only too well. You don't have to tell me about the darkness within. But maybe some of you are thinking, well, actually, by and large, I'm pretty good. I'm not all that aware, really, of this dark shadow you're talking about. Well, look at what Paul is saying, and I think it's brilliant. Paul is saying there's a darker domain even than Pharaoh's Egypt. There's a darker domain even than Pharaoh's Egypt. This is Exodus language. And therefore, there is a greater freedom than the Israelites' exodus. The deepest longing of the human heart is to be set free, not from some tyranny or political system or social system, or to be free to express ourselves. It's to be free from the darkness within. Of our own heart, really. And because we need a different kind of rescue, don't we? Therefore, we need a different kind of rescuer. And Jesus came to rescue us from the domain of darkness and to bring us into the kingdom of light and love, where there is forgiveness of sins, where there is nothing held against us anymore, where the debt is paid, where the slate is clean. I mean, isn't that the kind of freedom we long for? And Jesus accomplished it. Well, how did he do it? By stepping into the deepest darkness. Bearing the weight, the punishment for the darkness of every human heart. He paid for our ransom. He paid the price. He was purchased by him and given life in his kingdom. So we need to be set free. And that's why Jesus came. And that's what Paul is speaking about here. The second fundamental desire I think we all have is for meaning. We all want to feel that we matter, don't we? That we have some significance in this world. Again, think about what Paul is saying here. Think about the implications of our rescue story. I mean, this rescue story is screaming at us, I think, that we matter. We matter. We matter enough that someone would come and rescue us. That someone would be concerned about our plight and want to do something about it. And by the way, the rescuer doesn't come at the risk of his own life. No, he comes at the cost of his own life. He's not coming to risk his life. He's coming to give his life. And we are the objects of his rescue. That means we matter. That means we have significance. Jesus gave his life, didn't he, to drag us out of the domain of darkness and to bring us into the kingdom of light. You and I are part of this most epic rescue story. The most, I suppose, in all of history, really, the biggest, most significant rescue story there is. And yet we're not the main character in the story. We're not the hero in the story. And I think that's important in the light of today's culture. You know, our culture will tell us, yeah, you're in a story, and it's your story, and it's you're at the center of your story. And your story is all about getting what you want and what you need, your health, your happiness, your holidays, your whatever. And you're at the center of it. Yes, you might help the poor occasionally. You might help a charity occasionally. But ultimately, it's your story, and it's all about you. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible says Jesus is at the center of the story, and we are the objects of his rescue, which means we matter. That is where we get our significance from. Not by us being at the center and getting all the things we want, but recognizing the real hero of the rescue story is Jesus. And we are the objects of that rescue story. It's a powerful story. Two verses. I wonder how... What does it mean to you to know that you've been rescued? That you've been brought out of a domain of darkness with all its power and authority and controlling influence. And through the love of Jesus, we've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son he loves, where there is redemption and forgiveness of sins, where there is freedom, where there is meaning. That's kind of what we celebrate when we share communion together. All that Jesus has done for us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that because of your rescuing of us, that one day we will stand in glory. One day we will see your face. Lord, one day we will be with you in a way we've never been before. And yet, Lord, that hymn reminds us that there's still work to be done. Lord, would you fill us afresh with your Spirit, Lord? Would you give us an encouraging spirit towards one another to spur each other on, that we might do your work faithfully as you've called us to? Lord, bless us through this coming week, wherever we find ourselves. Lord, help us to be conscious of your presence, of your help, conscious that we are serving you, the living God. Lord, bless us, we pray, as we offer you our thanks, our praise, and our worship. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.